Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, and this is Monday's life class for UOS and IMM students. I just wanted to open this up to the air for you guys and for myself. It's like a personal way for me to get information that I need. I'm hoping, and what I've seen from the last program is that I got a pretty good response from some of the students. A lot of you listen to the archive, but you can call in if you have a question, and that number is 760-695-1120. And today I'm really, really excited because I have Alan Allard, who was a former psychotherapist, who now is who coaches clients and for accelerated personal and professional success, and is the author of Mental Aikido. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and Rediscover Your Powerful Self. Well, Alan, say hi and correct me if I was wrong.
Well, hello, everybody. No, you were just fine. Everything was pronounced correctly. I appreciate that.
I am so glad.
Go ahead.
I said I'm really glad to have you and glad you're on the show and glad you're going to share some of your knowledge and experience.
Well, I'm glad to be here, so I appreciate you having me. And I will just give a little bit of more information about my background. I spent 15 years in private practice. I have a master's degree in counseling. And when I was in private practice as a psychotherapist, I was working with individuals and couples and families, dealing with most things that people would seek help from. If I were to put my finger on the predominant things, it would be things like self-esteem issues and depression, anxiety, issues that couples were having in terms of connecting and relating to each other. So I did that for about 15 years, but somewhere in the past 3 years of that time span, I had some of my clients who were executives or senior managers in companies began asking me for some help with work issues, leadership issues, building their team, et cetera, because they said, you know, what I'm learning here in therapy seems to be pretty applicable. So I started doing executive coaching and then began to do some seminars that I would present myself. I started doing weekly classes. But I also started doing corporate training and development, and for 2 years I was traveling the United States doing some work for two large seminar companies, National Seminars and Fred Pryor Seminars, doing corporate seminars. So I had a mixture of that work and enjoyed the variety and learned something that helped me in both of those areas. And during that time period, I had to learn how to market myself, because when you're in business for yourself, you only make money depending upon how many clients you have and how much you charge. And as you know, and probably everyone knows, clients don't just come banging on your door. They have to find out about you. They have to develop an interest. So I learned a lot about marketing, studied copywriting, and over the course of time found some things that worked very well for me, found some things that might work for others but that did not resonate with me, but began to develop more and more exposure. I got media coverage where I was, and at the time I was in the Chicago suburb, Naperville. But over time I got quoted in the New York Times, the New York Post, California Executive, and over the past couple of years I've been a frequent guest coach for a preeminent career development website for women called womenworking.com. So that gives you a little bit about my background, and I'll be drawing from those experiences to talk more specifically about how to be effective and very successful in marketing yourself.
I am so glad because, you know, for a lot of us, and I'm sure I'm speaking, that as you're embarking on a, you know, spiritual career and you're trying some different things and you're a spiritual entrepreneur, that's what I kind of describe us as, that marketing is like a bump in a wall to me, like hit the wall, and it's like, how do I bring in more clients? So I'm just really excited about pulling in some of the knowledge base that you have. And I'm so glad you just told us about yourself, because that even broadens the knowledge base that we could get from you. So how how do you? I'm just going to kind of go into it. What made you?
Okay, let me. Can I jump in with something here, Linda?
Sure.
Based upon something that you said, because when we talk about spiritual marketing, let's just talk about spiritual for just a minute. Because what I found is that many metaphysicians or whatever term we're using, what happens is someone gets very excited about studying metaphysics, and maybe they've been reading books for a long time, and then we find out about the University of Metaphysics and the University of Sedona. For me, that was a year ago, and at this point, I just finished writing my dissertation. My master's thesis is being reviewed by the committee, and I'm about ready to send the dissertation in. But what happens is we get excited about all this learning and all this knowledge, and we want to share it with people and offer our services. And what we sometimes think is that if we get a doctoral degree in metaphysics, then all of a sudden we're going to be in business. But what happens is we find out, no, what has actually transpired is we have a doctoral degree, but the business is yet to be built. So being trained in metaphysics and having a lot of knowledge and expertise is very different than the building of a business. So I encourage metaphysicians to not think of themselves as being in the metaphysical business or being in the spiritual business or building a ministry. And what I mean by that is not to do away with that completely, but they have to make a shift in their mind to realize that they are in the business of marketing. And that's difficult for many people who, have a good heart. They have a real strong desire to help other people. But what they have to do is they have to realize that it is a business. If you remember, Dr. Masters talked very plainly in the course of studies what he had to do to get his business off of the ground. He worked very hard. He started putting ads in the local papers. He started doing some free speaking and many things. But he had to actually have a plan, and he had to actually work it to start building interest. And that's what we have to do, because people aren't going to come to us just because we have a doctoral degree. They're going to come to us because we've effectively put a message out there that resonates with them, that piques their interest. And then they come to our website, or they pick up the phone, get a little more information. But then we have to actually lead them from where they are to making a buying decision. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. But I just want everyone to understand that the information that we have that can be life-changing isn't going to do anyone any good if we don't learn how to market ourselves.
That is so well put, and it's food for thought, basically, for me, because I think, and I don't think, I think I'm speaking for other students, and I hope I am. And if I'm not, you sure can call the guest call-in number and ask your own question. A lot of times I don't see myself as marketing myself, and I almost feel a little bit intimidated about marketing myself, because it's like, well, I have, and I was a minister prior to coming to this, so I have a ministry, and I feel like, and I'm kind of jumping around, but you know, I feel like it's a fine balance between presenting myself as a minister and marketing myself. And I guess I feel a little bit of discomfort there. So help me and give me some suggestions. Not only me, but I know it's other students that probably have that same question.
Understood. But, you know, if we take a look at even ministries that have really gotten well known, it's only because that person was willing to put themselves out there and to market, whatever you want to call it, get a message out there. A lot of people know who Robert Schuller is, and if you read about his beginning, he'll talk about going door to door, week in and week out, knocking on people's doors just to introduce himself, to let them know he was building a church there. So whether it's his ministry or anyone else's ministry, they had to attract people to them. They had to draw people to them, and that is not going to be done by sitting inside our office studying for our doctorates or reading another metaphysical book. That takes something else altogether. And again, in just a few minutes, I'll get more specific, but go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, because we're there. So basically, how do you begin? What would you say, like, somebody's just starting up a ministry, where would you suggest you begin?
Okay. I would begin in the mind, first of all, and I'm going to state this once again, simply because if this shift does not take place, nothing else that I'm going to say is going to be of any value, and here's why. I think most metaphysicians know more about marketing than what they're doing. So it's not necessarily that they don't know some things to do. It's that they're not taking action on even the things that they are doing. Now, I'm going to go over some things that they might not know, but I want them to realize that what are they doing with what they already know to do? And if they're not taking consistent action, then that's because of what's going on inside of their mind. So they need to have this mental and spiritual and emotional shift and accept the responsibility that they are building a business. Maybe they need to say, okay, I'm building a ministry / business, but they always need to incorporate the business side of it. Otherwise, they're probably going to keep getting the same results. So this has to do with the way we think. It has to do with our beliefs. And sometimes we need to make a shift from what we call, you know, spiritual thinking to business thinking, although I don't make a distinction. I think business is very spiritual. So the shift has to take place. Now, in terms of some more specifics, what everyone needs to begin with, if they haven't already done this, is they need to choose one niche, one target market, so to speak, that they are going to focus on and that they're going to begin marketing to. So are you familiar with the word niche in this context, Linda? Okay. Now, everyone seems to know that, but I'm constantly amazed at when I ask a metaphysician, okay, tell me who your target market is. Tell me who your ideal client is. They cannot answer immediately with clarity and with impact. So if someone is thinking, well, I can help a lot of people, they're going to struggle because we can't get our message out to a lot of people. We can't get our message out to everyone. We have to get our message out to a very tightly focused group of people. We can pick a niche that is based upon a group of people, or we can pick a niche based upon the methodology that we use or the service that we provide. So let me give you an example. If someone says, I specialize in teaching people how to meditate, well, no one's going to pay attention to that because it doesn't get their attention. We have to narrow that down. So what if someone says, I focus on helping professional women who are in high demanding careers to learn how to meditate. Now we've got it more narrow and more focused. We could make it a little more focused by saying, I work with professional women in demanding careers that are baby boomers. Now it's even more focused. If someone says, you know, I have a healing ministry, well, you know, again, that's much, much too broad. So they can say, I specialize in working with people with migraine headaches, helping them to eliminate them. Or I specialize in, let's talk about a relationship coach. If they just say, I work with couples to improve their relationship, then that is a niche. So that's much better than just saying, you know, I am a personal coach. But if they were to say, I work with couples who are struggling in their relationship and the thought of divorce has crossed their mind, now they've narrowed that focus down tremendously. So I would say the number one thing to do is to get extremely focused on what group you're going to concentrate your message to. And the reason for that is then you can begin to write some articles for online blogs or online publications. You can write for mainstream publications. You can tailor your articles on your website to that one group and start building some momentum that way.
Okay, that
so
is so good.
Now,
is...
the next thing, and slow me down anytime you need to. If you need to jump in and help me clarify something or ask a question to build on it, jump in.
Go for it. And when I'll take a breath when I have to, but I need to get this information, so you just go right ahead.
Okay, very good. All right, the next thing they need to do is they need to craft what is called a value proposition. A value proposition. Now, some people are familiar with the term unique selling proposition. That's mm-hmm. talked a lot about in marketing books. It means what is the one thing that sets you apart? What can you say to your potential client or student or church member that they can wrap their minds around that pulls them in where they say, hey, tell me some more about that. I call it a value proposition because that is a term that I borrow from someone that I have studied with and been through his mentoring program, and that's what he calls it, a value proposition. And here's where most professionals get off and make a mistake when it comes to a value proposition. If you go to, let's say, their website homepage, you should be able to find that value proposition on that homepage, or if you're talking to them. But here's what most people do on their homepage. They start talking about themselves, what they're offering, what their background is. And nobody cares about what you and I offer. They don't care about what our background is. They don't care about our education, and they don't, to a large extent, care about our methodology, meaning how we do what we do. The only thing they care about is what are they going to get from us. After paying us money, what are they going to walk away with? So your value proposition needs to be very clear. If you look at Domino's Pizza, they're famous for their value proposition of fresh hot pizza delivered in 30 minutes.
Right.
We can wrap our minds around that. FedEx is very famous because whenever anyone thinks about FedEx, the words of, you know, when you absolutely need it, overnight guaranteed, or something very similar to that. So every metaphysician needs to be thinking, what specific words am I going to use to communicate what I'm doing? In my corporate work, because I work with corporate clients and I also work with private individuals doing, you know, what people would call life coaching, but for my corporate clients, I just say I help clients to dramatically improve individual and organizational performance because that's what corporations care about. They care about performance. So I go right to the heart of the matter. I don't talk about how I do it. If you go to my homepage, you're not going to find that I do corporate training, that I do workshops, that I do keynote speaking, that I do 360-degree feedback, things of that nature. So I'm focusing mostly on what they're going to get out of having a relationship with me and out of paying me money to help them. So that value proposition needs to be well thought out, and it needs to be very clear, and it needs to be very compelling. So if someone is working with people's health and they want to say, I help people who suffer with irritable bowel syndrome to resolve that and to create great health. If you are having problems with irritable bowel syndrome or migraine headache, whatever you want to plug in, and I told you that's what I did, would that get your attention, Linda?
That would help a lot.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, basically, I guess I see your point that the client just really wants to know, can you do what you say? And what is it that you do so that I know?
Exactly.
And I just want
You know, they don't really care that we have a doctorate. I'm not saying that that's not helpful. I'm not saying that that's not important to our own development and study. And I'm not saying that it doesn't impress people. I'm not saying that it doesn't build credibility. I'm saying that after they have thought about, gee, is this person credible, they're still going to wrestle with the thought, yes, but if I pay Alan money, am I going to go away a changed person? am I going to have better health? Am I going to have a better relationship? Am I going to have more self-esteem and self-confidence? And is it worth the money that he's asking? What will I go away with? So we have to very clearly tell them what that value proposition is.
All right. So I think that's so good, and it really helps. As we're talking, I'm like taking notes because it helps me to focus in, and I'll just say that I realize that on my website it's very broad, and so those are some things that I need to do to, you know, focus in so that when somebody comes, they see that. So, and even, you know, just with that, how do you feel like branding and your image, and the image that you're presenting, you know, how important is that, especially with us being, you know, of a spiritual nature? What would be your suggestions, and how important do you feel that is?
Well, I think that what people call branding and image is obviously very important because that affects how people perceive us, how they think about us. When it comes to building a brand, when you're in a solo professional activity, if you're building a ministry or if you're building a metaphysical business or a metaphysical ministry, it's pretty straightforward and it's pretty simple. Our brand is ourselves, and the message that we put out there through our website, through our writings, so all of that is important. That's why it's so important to get a very clear and a very compelling value proposition, because that is the brand that people are going to be associating with us. If they can't understand our value proposition, or if it's vague, or if it's not compelling, then we have a less than compelling brand. We have a vague brand. So everything
right.
that we do in terms of our website, in terms of what we put on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, what we say on Twitter, all the social media, how we dress, what kind of a car that we drive in terms of, you know, are we taking care of that car? You know, it may not be a very high-end car, but when they look at our car, do they see someone that takes things, treats things with respect and takes care of things? All of those
mm-hmm.
things matter. When they look at the way we dress, do they see a professional? And even if someone is going to wear jeans and sports clothes, there is a way to dress in that manner that impresses people, because there are jeans and then there are jeans, right? There's different
right.
quality, different quality of clothing. So, yeah, I think brand is important. But the most important thing is our self-confidence and our ability to connect with people and to communicate a message that is going to get their attention. Because most people that are in business for themselves, small businesses, don't have the money to do what the bigger companies do for branding. Sometimes people ask them, well, what about a logo? And I tell them, don't worry about a logo. A logo is not going to make any difference in how much you sell your services. But doing these other things that we're talking about will make all the difference in the world. Did I answer your question about branding and image, or did you?
It really helps because I think it's important even in how we present ourselves with integrity. With a lot of ministries out there, you know, I'm a Christian, so I have to kind of go back to that. Having some issues with integrity and stuff like that, I think that it's really important how you present yourself, because it ties into some people just see you if you dress a certain way, they assume whether or not you are going to be a person of integrity or whatever. So I think it may sound very superficial, but I think it's something important we need to consider.
Well, I would agree with that in terms of integrity or in terms of how people are going to perceive us and how they're going to judge us. And you and I both know that people are going to judge us. People do that all the time. And so
right.
the way we dress, the way we communicate, and the way we treat people. You know, if we're out in a restaurant and we're being impatient or unkind with the server, or if we're being overly critical about the food, I'm not talking about being critical appropriately if something's wrong with the food, but, you know, there are just some people that tend to find something wrong with everything. And we have someone within earshot that has been to our website. Now we've lost our credibility because we have no integrity in their eyes. So I agree with you. All of those things make all the difference in the world. I'm assuming that I'm talking to someone that has integrity, that's displaying that integrity, because the truth of the matter is, if there was someone listening to us that didn't have it, there's probably not anything you and I are going to say that's going to make a difference for them, but we can always have that on our mind for our own situations.
Yeah.
So related to that, let me bring up websites, because in terms of marketing, I'm going to mention websites.
You know,
maybe this is just me, but I have to tell you that when I go to a lot of metaphysical websites, they have a certain look to them and a certain feel to them that would turn off anyone that is not already very, very interested and already somewhat a believer in metaphysics. Do you know what I mean by that?
A couple, and I think I might know what you are talking about, but you expound a little bit more.
I've looked at quite a bit of them, and so now if that person already has a booming business, then I would say, hey, you know, it's a moot point. But if there's a metaphysician that is struggling to get business, one thing that I would encourage them to do, and Dr. Masters talks about this in the course of studies, is to don't come across as so overtly metaphysical or spiritual. When you look at some of the great metaphysical people out there, we'll take Emmett Fox, for example. Emmett Fox was a renowned New Thought minister, but although he did talk in metaphysical terms and he interpreted the Bible metaphysically, he also put forth what he was saying that a lot of people in the Christian tradition that weren't quite ready for more overt metaphysical teachings would definitely listen to him and devour everything that he said. Robert Shuler is maybe the best or one of the best, and I haven't, you know, I've read a couple of his books. I've seen a few of his programs, maybe 8 or 9 in the past 30 years. But what I learned from him was that he met people where they were. He didn't say, okay, you need to buy into metaphysics, you need to understand that all the universe is energy and we're all connected and everything is created first in your own mind. He put things in language that people could relate to. He met people where they were. So if a metaphysician is having trouble getting clients, the first place I would look is, how are you crafting your message? What kind of things are you saying on your website? And what kind of topics are you picking to do a webinar on or to have a class in your local community? And if you say that to the public that you're going to have a class, how to meditate and connect with the God within, or how to develop your God consciousness, you're going to get a very small percentage of people who are saying, you know, I was thinking about that the other day, and I think I'll come to that. But if you put together a class that says, how to dramatically increase your self-esteem and sense of self-worth, you're going to reach a much broader number of people. So when we talk about a value proposition or we talk about the message that we get across, sometimes we get hung up in our methodology. I'm an expert in hypnosis and self-hypnosis, but I rarely use those terms or rarely talk about it. I will, after I have worked with a client for a little bit, have developed rapport, or if someone comes to me right off the bat thinking about being a client and they say, I've been thinking about hypnosis, then I can speak more directly to that. It's not about not being ourselves. It's not about not being upfront. It's about communicating in the language that they can understand and hear. If you were Japanese, how am I going to reach you if you don't speak English unless I learn how to speak Japanese?
Great.
So in our websites and in the classes that we're thinking about offering, we can either pick a subject that people can wrap their minds around and say, hey, that's going to help me. If we have a class of, let's say we entitle it, turn your relationship with your significant other around almost overnight. Now, that's probably stretching it by saying almost overnight, but you get the point. That's going to get the attention of anyone who's having a hard time in their relationship. Now, once they're there, can we teach metaphysical principles? Absolutely. Can we even use some metaphysical terms? Absolutely. But we may want to develop rapport. We may want to develop that relationship and pace the people as we're going on. When you go to my website, you're not going to find anything metaphysical about it. But you would be shocked at how many metaphysical discussions I get in, even with corporate people. And we're talking about spiritual principles. We're talking about the universe. We're talking about things that we would say are very metaphysical, but I didn't start off that way with it.
Okay. I get it.
So if someone wants, look at churches that are growing and thriving. They find out what the community needs. So if the community has a lot of senior citizens that need help with, eating and meals, they'll maybe do a Meals on Wheels, deliver a, weekly meal, or they'll have, a place where they can come to once a week. They'll have an outreach program maybe to the homeless. They will have some marriage classes. They will have something for, the teenagers. So what they're doing is they're saying, what can we offer to these people that they're already wanting? And the difficulty with metaphysicians sometimes is they're saying, how can I offer my metaphysical training and metaphysical concepts and principles to people when I have to ask, well, what people are you talking about? Who's out there asking you for that help? So much better to start on a level and have that reflected in our website that is going to draw people in, and then we can use our expertise, then we can use our knowledge and understanding of metaphysical principles to share with them, sometimes in a more subtle way, sometimes in a very overt way. When I say over, we can even use metaphysical terms.
Right.
But we have to build that relationship with them. So in terms of a website, I would encourage people to look at their website and say, hey, if I went to someone's website, would that, what's on that homepage, make me want to read further? And in terms of a website, what everyone needs to keep in mind is that you need to have a call of action, and it needs to be on that homepage. And the call of action probably should be that you're asking them to sign up for a newsletter, which means they have to give you their email list. That way you can start building a community, build up a list of emails that you can start sending a weekly or a biweekly newsletter, even if it's a very short newsletter too. If you do not ask them to do something that is going to give you a way to get back in touch with them, then it's going to be hard for you to build that relationship. You're just going to have to wait on them to think of you again to come back to your website, and that might be a long time or never. So somewhere in the upper right-hand corner, there needs, not in the extreme right-hand corner, but down, maybe under the heading in the right-hand side, you need to have an offer of something. I have a special report. People can go to my website, and I'll give my website out now in case people want to see how I've done my website. It's my name. It's alanallard.com, alanallard.com. And I have a special report that is called How to Thrive Under Pressure, 3 Strategies for Exceptional Performance. So, people are under stress. Most people would tell you that they're under stress. So I've got a white paper, a special report that has to deal with dealing with pressure. So you get their email address, you start sending them a newsletter, and you have some things on your website like articles. You need to have as many articles as you can and something that they can come back to. And that website is going to build your credibility. It's not going to do your selling for you, but it will be something that adds to your credibility. And when I hear a metaphysician tell me that they're thinking about doing a website, they've been thinking about it, what I want to ask them is, well, how long have you been thinking about it? It doesn't take long today to get a WordPress site where you can have a blog on there.
Right.
You can hire someone to do that for literally probably $300 and have a very nice one, and then you can manage it and make changes on it yourself. So if a metaphysician only has a Facebook page, they're not taking their marketing seriously. They need to have a website, because that's what it takes to be taken seriously. If you give someone your business card and it doesn't have a website on there, they're not going to be too impressed, and they're not going to have a way to find out more about you.
Very good. And I think
are you ready for me to go ahead?
I just think that that's really important, and it's helping me to think of something. I do have a website, and I just need to beef up, and this is really helping me to see how to, you know, direct business my way. And so I'm really appreciative of what you're saying, because it's really some really good information and tips. Now, where were you going to go on with?
Well, I was going to say the next thing that people need to do is to have a blog. And that leads into my next point, and I'll just incorporate it into it. We need to be building our body of intellectual property. We need to be taking the information that's in our head and putting it somewhere where people can get a hold of it. So that's why I wrote the ebook Mental Aikido, Rediscover Your Powerful Self. I wrote that in the form of a story, a parable-type form, to make it easier for people to read, because people like to be entertained as they're learning. I have articles not only on my website, but I have a lot of articles on a website place called ezinearticles.com, where anyone can submit articles to, and the search engines will start finding you, and people, when they type in certain search terms like building self-esteem, then they will find their way to that ezinearticles.com. We need to get our intellectual property out there by writing articles, writing blogs, adding to our website, writing ebooks, obviously getting a book published by a commercial publisher would be absolutely incredible, but most people aren't going to jump in and do that, but they can jump in and write an ebook. It just takes some commitment, some daily discipline, and before you know it, you're going to have an ebook. So if I were to ask a metaphysician, listen, where can I find out more about your philosophy or how you work with people, or, you know, what your ideas are about how I can change my life, and they say, well, my website has articles, that's good. That's a good starting place. But if they say, well, you can go to my website and get some articles, but I'll tell you what, I have an ebook, and I normally sell it for, you know, $15.95, whatever, you know, the price may be, but I'll be glad to give you a complimentary copy. You know, why don't you give me your email address, and do you mind if I go ahead and put you on my email list for my newsletter? Now you can send them that ebook, and that ebook might be all that they need to make up their mind to engage your services and to pay you their hard-earned money. But we need to get our intellectual property out there. Getting on someone's radio and being a guest is one way to do that. There are tons of discussion forums out there where you can begin interacting and sharing your experience, sharing what you know. You can write guest blogs. There are so many guest blogs out there. But metaphysicians need to think outside the box, so to speak. I hate that term. I can't believe I just used it, but I did. So I'll go with it. They need to think outside the box and say, okay, well, instead of me just looking for metaphysical blogs or newsletters out there, let me broaden my search and let me look for some blogs that deal with self-improvement or life transformation or that focus on one single thing like relationships. And let me send an email to that blog owner who's always needing fresh material and saying, hey, here's a topic that I had in mind to be a guest blogger for you. Would you like to see a sample of my writing? So we need to start getting our work out there, and we can build some momentum that way.
That is really good. I mean, I think I've seen people on our little Facebook pages that are seeing things like that I have a blog or I have a go to this website or whatever. And I've been doing a lot of blogging. I consider this also a blog because it's like my opinion or whatever. But I think that you're right. We need to get our information and to get the knowledge that we've gained out there. And these are good steps and tips to do that. They really are.
Exactly. And then, you know, once you have an ebook with Create Space and similar services like that, you can turn it into a physical soft cover book, and you can have it printed one book at a time and shipped to whoever orders it for less than $5. So there's no reason for metaphysicians not to at least have an ebook, but better yet, a physical book that they can sell. Now, the next thing in building information products is to have some audio or video products out. And we can start very, very small. The person might say, okay, I'm going to pick a topic and I'm going to create a 30-minute audio and I'm going to turn it into an MP3. I can put it up on my website. I can also put that onto a CD to sell the CD or sell the MP3, or you could, you know, give it away just for marketing purposes. But we need to get some of our speaking experiences out there so that people can hear our voice and get a sense for our personality. Another way to get your intellectual property out there is to do a class. I did a class for a little bit over 2 years in a hotel. I was paying $100 a night for the hotel space. And I regularly had anywhere from at least 10 to 20 people in that class. I charged a nominal fee of $10 a person, and people would come back week after week, and they would bring some new people, or I would, you know, find a new person, and they would come to the class. So when someone has an interest in changing their life in some way, and they can pay $10 or $20 to go to a class and find out, do they like you? Are they impressed with you? Do you have some skills that might help them change their life? That's a very low-cost barrier for them to make a decision about. It's a lot easier for them to make that decision than thinking about spending, whatever it is you charge on an hourly rate. So getting an e-book, having a physical book to create space, getting on radio programs such as yours, getting ourselves out there in blogs, putting our newsletter out there, doing a weekly class, going out to speak for the local civic clubs like the Exchange Club or Kiwanis, going
right
out there to speak to church groups. Most church groups have some type of place where they need speakers for small groups. You can go to church groups that are having maybe a group for people who are depressed or people that are having problems in their relationship. So find out who the people are that bring those speakers in. You're going to do it for free, but that's fine. It's for your marketing. And tell them who you are. Ask them, you know, what are the topics, what are the needs and the challenges that their people are having right now, and then say, I can speak on that. Would you like for me to come speak to your group? And you're going to be invited. I read about a woman who is the number two sales director for Mary Kay in the nation. She has the largest group of independent Mary Kay people, the second largest group. I read her about it in the newspaper, and I called her up. And I basically connected with her, told her, you know, what I was doing. And I said, listen, why are some of your people not selling more? And we talked a little bit. And we both agreed that one aspect was that they needed to have more confidence in themselves. They needed greater self-esteem. And I said, I am an expert on that. Would you like for me to come speak to your group? So I went out and spoke to them. There was about 75 of her people there in a hotel. And that increased my reputation. It increased my visibility. Another time I called a district manager for Prudential Insurance. And I said, I'll come speak to your group. on how to sell more. And I went there, and there were 50 people there. Now, I can already hear some metaphysicians, you know, thinking, oh, but I don't speak on those topics. What I would like for people to do is to take what I'm saying and translate it to their own world. So if a metaphysician says, I can't speak to an insurance group of salespeople, I can't speak to a group of Mary Kay people, I would say, why not?
I agree. As you're saying that, the principles that we learn basically are very much speaking to your self-esteem and how to become a better salesperson. It's a matter of mind. Right.
Exactly. I'm the guest expert again this month. It's the sixth time that I've been asked to be the guest expert for womenworking.com. And I'm the guest expert for the entire month, and I write 3 or 4 blogs every week for them for 4 weeks. I'm also in their discussion forum, and they also feature me in their newsletter that they send out that is a very high-end electronic newsletter. Well, guess what I just wrote about today? The topic for my blog for them today was how to handle criticism. Well,
right.
Every metaphysician can write or go out and speak about that.
Right.
Now, sometimes we need to talk in a way that is not so overtly metaphysical, but we can still bring those principles in. Norman Vincent Peale, I would consider him someone who was a student of metaphysics. Would you?
Definitely. I would.
Okay,
now I would.
But you know, when you were listening, and I heard him speak live one time many years ago, you would not have necessarily known that, would you? Now, a lot of conservative Christian people would have called him a liberal Christian, but he wasn't really considered metaphysical, but he certainly taught metaphysical principles and sometimes even used metaphysical terms in his writings. So we can learn to do that, but we have to get our intellectual property out there. So I would challenge every metaphysician who is not writing a newsletter, who is not out there speaking at least once a month to some group, who is not being a guest blogger at least once every couple of months, to get a plan in action and to start taking the steps to make that happen. And this comes back to what I said earlier before. I don't think that what stops metaphysicians from building their ministry or their brand or their business is not knowing how to market. I think it is lack of confidence. I think it is lack of self-esteem. And when I say lack of self-esteem, I certainly don't mean to insult anyone, because the truth is that none of us have perfect self-esteem. We're all in the process of becoming our true self and becoming and letting who we really are to come out of us, so to speak. So no one has perfect self-esteem. But if someone is not doing what they already know to do, then I would say that it's a matter of self-worth, a matter of self-esteem, a matter of self-confidence. And those are all issues that we have the understanding and the tools to be working on metaphysically, spiritually, so that a month from now, 6 months from now, we're taking more action because we've built our self-confidence. We know that the universe is inside of us. We know we have that power. We know that we have something of value to offer, and we're taking steps to offer it. But we have to believe that we have something of value. You had mentioned earlier in the call that, you know, sometimes metaphysicians are a little bit hesitant about marketing themselves. And I would suggest that they just think of it in terms of communicating and connecting with people, having conversations with people, whether it's through writing or whether it's through talking with someone individually. It's just simply a matter of being ourselves, having a conversation, engaging others in conversation, and finding a way to skillfully and powerfully put into words what we have to offer them in a way that's going to get their attention. But it does begin in the mind. It does begin in the spirit. We have to believe in ourselves. We have to know that we have something of worth, but then we have to get that message out.
I think that we're getting down to the last about 5 or 10 minutes here, and I just feel like I just have gotten so much out of what you were saying. I hope that you will come back again at some point to kind of help us out, because I kind of feel like after hearing you that I can fine-tune some things on my website, even with my blogging, and I do blog, but not as often as I should because of time constraints. But then I guess that even with the blogging, that's the thing that you have to be consistent in putting the message out there.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I would say this. We all have the same amount of time in the sense that we have 24 hours a day. But we don't all have the same amount of time in the sense that, you know, my two daughters are grown. I'm 55. And, you know, my two daughters are 26 and 29. So if someone else has, you know, children at home or maybe they're caring for an aging parent, then, okay, I'll you know, readily agree, okay, maybe they don't have as much time as I do or nearly as much time. But here's what they need to do. They need to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
So someone may not have time to write an article a week and a blog a week and to go out to speak. But what they can do is they can list 10 things and then they can prioritize and start taking action on at least 3 of them. And if they don't start taking action on those 3 things, and I'm talking about consistent action and follow through, then it's back to their thinking. Now we have a metaphysical problem. We don't have a marketing problem. We have a metaphysical problem. We have a problem in how we're thinking and our beliefs and how we feel about ourselves. I'll mention a couple of other things that people need to be doing just so they can build that list of 10 things. We need to collect, and then we need to use testimonials. If someone goes to your website, they need to see a lot of good testimonials. If someone is starting out and they don't have a client, then the way they get testimonials is they ask people who know you and respect you and know somewhat of your thinking and your philosophy to write a testimonial. They can say, and of course you've been at this a while, Linda, but let's just say that you're beginning. I could say,
right,
I've known Linda for 5 years, and she is phenomenal with helping people turn their lives around. She is an incredible listener. She empathizes. And she just always seems to know the right thing to do for and with that person to help them to get to that next level. So I can say that, and I've never been your client. So we need to be getting those testimonials and using them. When you speak somewhere, you know, simply hand out a sheet and say, you know, if you'll put your comments down about this class, then I will send you this special report on, and then name a topic. So write something down about what you thought of this class, give me your email address, and I'll get that right to you later today or tomorrow. So we need to collect testimonials. The other thing that we can be doing in marketing is we can be doing some, well, let me back up a minute. We need to be, if someone has worked with clients, but it's been, let's say, 6 months to a year, one of the easiest ways to get another client is to call up older clients and just say, hey, I was thinking about you, wanted to touch base. Get into a conversation with them and see if they're ready for some more help. They may have grown to a place that now they're ready to transform even more, or maybe they may have been having a hard time and slipping back a little bit, and they're really glad you called, and they want you to give them some help. So that's another thing that people can do. Another thing that people can do, and this has to do with getting their intellectual property out, is they can have someone interview them even if it's only for 30 minutes. Doesn't have to be on a radio show like this. You just get together with someone or you get on the phone and get a bridge line where you do a teleseminar. You can get that done for free. It'll record it, turn it into an MP3. Have that person just ask you a series of questions. Now you have an information product. You can either sell it or just give it away.
Oh, good. Yes, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And I'm going to end up with this one last thing on marketing. In marketing, everyone needs to tell their story. And they need to put a lot of thought into what their story is and how they're going to tell that story. If you go to my website and you click on the About Alan, you're going to read about my story. So be thinking about, how did I get to where I am today? You know, what is a little unique about my story? And you may not think it's all that great or all that unique because you're so familiar with it, but come up with something that will introduce people to you, help them to understand how you got from point A to point B, why you're doing what you're doing right now. My chiropractor tells a story that he's in business as a chiropractor because as an adult, he went to chiropractic school. He left his corporate life, went to chiropractic school, because when his mother was trying to get pregnant, she couldn't for a long time. And then she went to her chiropractor, and the chiropractor worked with her, and right away she was able to get pregnant, and it happened to be my client, you know, was her child. So that obviously had a huge impact on him about what chiropractic could do. Well, that's a pretty interesting story. So we don't have to have maybe as dramatic of a story, but in your website and when you're out speaking, you need to weave your story about who you are, how you got to where you are, because people love stories. They'll remember that, and you'll position yourself in their mind. So basically, you know, we've gone over a number of things. We've gone over crafting your value proposition. We've gone over picking your niche, looking at your website, blogging, sending a newsletter, getting people's email address, going out there speaking, writing an e-book. You know, those are all some things that are, I would say, fairly easy to do. And if someone finds maybe going out speaking not so easy to do, they probably wouldn't have trouble with someone just asking them questions, recording it, and now they have a product that they can use to market themselves. So my challenge to everyone is to quit looking at what you haven't done or why you're not doing it, because we can always come up with the reasons why we're not doing it, and get very clear on what am I going to do, prioritize it, come up with 10 things, and then prioritize two or three of those things, and then take action on it. And the other challenge that I would give is if someone is having trouble marketing themselves and they can't seem to get consistent with it, then they may want to do what they're asking everyone else to do, and that is they may want to get help. They may want to get a coach that's going to help them with that. But somewhere, somehow, we need to find a way to get ourselves out there and to start making things happen. And I say making things happen because I think that the universe often looks down and says, you know, Alan could have whatever he wanted, but he's not doing anything about it, so that makes me think that it's not that important to him. Or it makes me think that he doesn't value himself enough and his self-confidence is too low, and if he got what he wanted, he wouldn't be able to handle it because metaphysically he's not where he needs to be to handle it. So we need to quit waiting on the universe to do something for ourselves that we should be doing, and that when we do it, the universe would take it and multiply it for us.
Very good. I just feel like this show has been very informative. I hope that I know I have gotten so much. I've taken notes, and it really has helped me kind of clarify and kind of move my business plan and my strategies a little bit, and to have a better and a wider focus on, I like communicating about who I am and what I'm trying to do out there. So I hope that has done same thing for other students that have listened. And so, Alan, you've kind of helped us so much. Is there anything else that you need to put out there?
I would just, I would just say that if anyone has any further questions, I'm happy to discuss this on the IMM discussion. Well, we've had some discussion, but, you know, interestingly enough, Linda, here's what happens. People will ask questions, and I will mm-hmm. respond to them. And when it comes down to me asking them specific questions, like, you know, what is the group that you're wanting to get your message out to? Do you have a website? They stop communicating. And what that tells me is they don't have any of that, and they probably feel embarrassed about it. But if anyone wants to, bring up some questions on the discussion forum, I'm happy to come back and give some specific examples. But to do that, I would have to ask them a few questions. And I'll get very specific about their situation. I'll be very happy to answer any specific questions, and I think that that would benefit everyone. And when my thesis is approved, it's about 66 pages on metaphysical marketing. I'll be happy to provide a free copy. I'm going to turn it into a book that I'm going to sell, but for anyone on that discussion forum, I'll be happy to email them a free copy of that. And again, my website, if anyone wants to get in touch with me, is www.allard.com. Thanks, Linda, for having me on. I appreciate it, and would love to come back anytime.
Well, and trust me, I'm going to hold you up on that. And thank you so much, because the information has been invaluable. And so to the IMM and UOS students, this is, again, Monday's life class. I hope that you took something away. I know I did, and it was awesome. So, Alan, I just want to thank you again, and please come back anytime.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, good night, everybody. This is Soul in the City, and this is Linda. This is a place where we take the spirit higher and higher. So, good night.